and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
Ann, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say the great big flashing neon headline this week is Joe Biden nominating Pete Buttigieg to be the first Senate-confirmed out LGBT cabinet member in U.S. history.
It's only taken 231 years. The U.S. Supreme Court has, get this, upheld parental rights of same-sex spouses against an attack from Indiana.
Wow, that's several wins for us. They're just setting us up for the kill later on.
I know.
In Congress, our old friend, Representative Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii, is, even though she's about to leave office, making a last-ditch effort to stigmatize transgender girls and women in school sports.
It's a piece of work.
She is.
A famous lesbian is now one of the 17 million Americans who have gotten infected with COVID-19.
And a woman pro golfer, an LPGA member, has married her caddy, also a woman.
How about that? Bhutan has decriminalized gay sex. Let me repeat that. Bhutan has decriminalized gay sex, but Hungary has made things worse for LGBTQ people this week.
The United Kingdom is relaxing restrictions on gay men donating blood, although, frankly, there's still so many caveats, I question how much of a relaxation it is. We'll debate that.
And we have what we hope will be a little treat for you, songwriter Aaron Lacombe. Is sharing his Uncle Carl about coming out at a family Christmas dinner.
It's really quite cute and moving, and we'll be running that towards the end of the show, so stay tuned. And also at the end of the show, Andy will be reviewing the Netflix version of The Prom, which is raising quite a bit of controversy online.
Ooh.
Mixed emotions, reactions.
Oh, okay. How about that Pete Buttigieg? I watched the announcement, Biden introducing him. They really made a big deal about the history here of giving him the nomination to be Secretary of Transportation. And as you said at the top of the show, this would make him the first Senate-confirmed out LGBTQ cabinet member. Richard Grenell last year made a big deal. I'm the first cabinet level secretary. Well, he was at the national. What was it called? What's it called? National.
Intelligence.
Yeah, national intelligence. Intelligence and Rich Grenell should not be in the same sentence. But he was there for about five. He was there for about 5 minutes and then went back to the campaign. A truly awful person. But this would put Pete in the line of succession to the presidency.
Yeah, and Rick Grenell was not Senate confirmed, and his position was one that's sometimes cabinet level and sometimes isn't. But yes, this is the real cabinet. And a real out gay person. As we know and as we say ad nauseum on this show, there have been plenty of LGBT, or at least LGB, cabinet members before, but they haven't been out.
Alexander Hamilton.
And et sequelae.
Yes. Now, Biden, in introducing him, said of course, a lot of pressure on Biden. And I think to some extent, he's fulfilling, to a greater extent than any other president-elect, fulfilling firsts and putting more diversity in the cabinet. I mean, we can quibble about a lot of these appointments. But he said, I've given you seven firsts so far in this.
He's desperate. Desperate to defend himself because he's under attack on a lot of this. Biden talked about Pete's husband, Chasten. Kamala talked about Pete's husband, Chasten. They all claim to be great friends. Pete talked about Chasten.
He proposed to him at an airline terminal.
O'Hare. Proposed at O'Hare. But he also talked about having, at age 17, watched the fight over Jim Hormel's nomination to be ambassador to Luxembourg in the Clinton administration, which was a huge, huge, huge fight to have the first out gay ambassador. And in the end, Hormel could not win Senate confirmation and received a recess appointment and did serve as ambassador to Luxembourg, but under that huge cloud. Hormel is alive and well in San Francisco, I think.
87 years old.
Yep. So I'm sure he's happy to hear this reference.
That was a fantastic battle. I mean, Jesse Helms said he's anti-Catholic. He's anti-Catholic because he was being interviewed and the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence went by in the parade and he chuckled. So now he's anti-Catholic and he's pro-pornography. I mean, because of some library books or something in the collection. I don't know. I mean, it's nuts.
He was a great funder of the San Francisco Public Library's LGBTQ collection, and I'm sure there were a variety of books there. No one could have been more, straight-laced and conservative in his affect than Jim Hormel. So the idea that he was thrown all these charges was insane. But I thought it was quite...
And how many out gay ambassadors have we had so far, Anne?
I don't know the exact number.
14, some of them even under Trump, several of them under Trump.
Yeah.
How many lesbians?
Zero. Zero, yeah. Well, how about this? How many Democratic presidential candidates have ended up in so far in the Biden administration?
How many?
Democratic presidential candidates from 2020.
Well, you've got at least Kamala and Pete.
Okay. I was not sure you would remember to put Kamala on that list.
Well, I do remember her. She's the vice president-elect.
It was a trick question. I thought it was moving and clever of Pete to mention Jim Hormel, if not by name. I thought that was a great little callback.
Although it was interesting to me, he remembers that as a 17-year-old. It made an impression on him. But he says, I had not even come out to myself at that point, which was kind of weird, I have to say. I mean,
you can have an inkling with that, or you can be impressed by a story on TV without necessarily identifying it with yourself. Yes. It was quite a huge battle at the time. Yeah. It may have helped him identify who he was, although he didn't come out for quite a while after. He's only 38 years old, which I was a little stunned to be reminded of as this nomination was made. And I also think it's interesting. He got a lot of pushback when he ran for president about a sort of checkered career on race issues as mayor of South Bend. And we have not yet heard from the Black community in the same way that they have objected to some other nominees as not being sufficiently progressive on race issues. So I don't know if his being gay insulates him from that at the moment, but he is another white guy in the cabinet, and there are quite a few of them. And I'm curious to see whether his background will become an issue. I do think he's an ambitious, smart guy. There are complaints that he's not well-versed enough on these issues of transportation, but his background shows some work on this as mayor that is promising.
Well, a position like this kind of it's not natural, but it kind of plays to his wonkiness. It's a real detailed position. It also puts him in a position to be a very public face of the administration. And he is very telegenic. I mean, if this doesn't work out, he's perfectly capable of taking over at Gay USA. He's the first, you mentioned his age, he's the first millennial in the cabinet.
Well, Biden's leaning heavily on that credit, too. And just as a side note, I read today that Biden staffers or campaign people are assuring various constituencies behind the scenes who are not entirely happy with the nominees, don't worry, there will be turnover, and maybe sooner than you think.
Well,
which I'm kind of counting on too. So this
is. We don't know who's going to get confirmed.
We don't know who's going to be in a position to confirm them until we have this Georgia election.
Right. And, you know, for those of you who were in Georgia, January 5th, if you haven't been told 10,000 times by ads by now and mailers.
Vote now. You can vote now.
I mean, you know, I listened to the analysis on CNN about Georgia. And of course, the trend is in runoffs, Republicans do better. They generally increase their vote in runoffs. But this is very different. We've got Stacey Abrams on our side, and I have a lot of faith that she can pull this off, especially given how upset Republicans are with Republicans.
All right. Let's run through a little other election news. In San Diego, Mayor Todd Gloria was sworn in, as he says, son of a hotel maid and a gardener, Native American, Filipino, Puerto Rican, Dutch, gay guy.
And they've got an 8-1 Democratic majority on the city council there. San Diego used to be a real Republican city.
Yeah, but they've already had a huge fight over who was going to be the city council president. And there may already be a large split on the council. And there's talk of an attempt to recall the new city council president, who's regarded as the more moderate candidate who won. So things could get messy in San Diego very quickly.
We've sort of got the final results from the Victory Fund. You can read this online at victoryfund.com.
Or org.
I'm sorry. Okay. There were 782 known LGBTQ plus candidates on the ballot in 2020. 334 went on to victory, a success rate of 42.7%. 50% of LBQ cisgender women won, 14 of 38 trans women won, 41.5% of self-identified gay candidates won. But Anise Parker said that in order to reflect our numbers in the population, we would need to seat 21,307 LGBTQ plus people in office.
Progress, not perfection, Anise. But you can come back to Gay USA and tell us all about that.
Right.
And Biden spoke to the LGBTQ leaders, International Leaders Conference last week, pledging his support again for our communities. So he's showing up. He's pressing all the right buttons. And we'll see. You know, we now have a couple of lesbians of color in the Biden communications office. We have the Latinx gay guy who's the social secretary in the White House. We have Pete nominated for the cabinet. So I assume there will be more of us everywhere.
And by the way, we will include a link to the full speech that Biden gave today about Pete Buttigieg and Buttigieg's speech on our email. If you want to sign up for our email, go to gayusatv.org. You might also notice there that if you care to make an end of the year contribution to Gay USA, some of you have been so generous with us. I'm quite moved by the support that we're getting. You can go there too, and there's a way it'll tell you how you can make a donation. gayusatv.org.
I am also moved by the donations, by those who have been loyal supporters over the years and by new people who are just finding us and are supporting us. And I am both moved and a little frustrated by the people who have made anonymous contributions, large and small, because I want to be able to thank them. And the only way I can thank them is tell them here, thank you. We see you. We, although not clearly enough, and we really appreciate your help, and we appreciate everybody's help. It really means a lot to us.
We appreciate the corrections that you make for us, and we're going to make some on this show. Shall we talk?
And the news items you send. So we're open to all of that.
Okay. So, U.S. Supreme Court, right?
Yeah.
They refused this week to hear the challenge on the parental rights case for same-sex spouses that was brought by disgraced and leaving Indiana Attorney General Curtis Hill. An appeals court had ruled back in January that both mothers in a same-sex couple have to be allowed on the birth certificate. And the court was just upholding Supreme Court its own 2017 decision in a similar case from Arkansas, Pavin v. Smith, which rested on this is important, it rests on the solidity of the 2015 Obergefell decision that granted same-sex marriage to the states. National Center for Lesbian and Rights defended the couples here and said that marriage equality is and remains the law of the land.
Now, I remember that Pavin or whatever it is case from Arkansas because it was, I think, Gorsuch's first opinion when he got on the court. And he dissented in that opinion along with Alito and Thomas. None of them spoke up in dissent on this Indiana case. That just got rejected from hearing without comment from anybody. But Gorsuch, I remember seeing his opinion at the time and thinking, oh my God, this guy is a moron, because his opinion was all about how you had to have biology-based registration records, in spite of the fact that adopted kids are routinely put, have their adoptive parents put on birth certificates as heterosexual couples. And it was just an insane opinion. I think he's improved since then, but
he went on to write the Bostock decision.
Exactly. But man, that was a shocker when that one came out. So the fact that the majority opinion there has stood in this case is very reassuring.
Well, if you'd like some more shocks, you may get them from the Justice Department now that Barr is leaving because this guy Rosen has been put in place and he's a total Trump soldier. And I think that we could be, he's a real Roy Cohn. For an LGBTQ asylum seeker, this is under this guy Rosen's rulings, for an LGBTQ asylum seeker to prove persecution, they would have to get arrested for it back home and escape.
Yeah, it's... Lambda Legal and Immigration Equality are going to sue against these new asylum rules because they say it is just impossible now for anybody to seek asylum in this
and
country.
At this late stage, the Trump people have pushed out the chief of the Voice of America and installed Robert Riley, the author of Making Gay Okay, How Rationalizing Homosexual Behavior is Changing Everything.
I think we can get rid of him pretty quickly in the Biden administration. I just want to make sure they're all making notes because they got a lot of people to get rid of immediately.
I'll give them my notes.
Okay. Well, another Supreme Court ruling this week said that Muslims whose religious freedom was abused by the FBI. Can sue the FBI individual agents for damages. Right. And the problem with this is, while that sounds lovely on its face, the fact is that what this may mean is that the government is reluctant to enforce non-discrimination laws against religious organizations, which may then sue for their religious freedom rights.
Well, this guy Riley, who I mentioned from the Voice of America, wrote The Closing of the Muslim Mind. All right, Mitch McConnell is determined to confirm more right-wing judges to the federal courts. Trump has appointed 229 already, mostly young members of the Federalist Society, a quarter of the federal judiciary, a third of the U.S. Supreme Court, 53 circuit judges, almost the 55 that Obama appointed in 8 years. Now, the Democrats are lining up nominees. They're not letting the grass grow, but it won't be easy confirming them unless we win those Georgia seats.
Georgia seats, yeah. It's a real question whether any of the Republican senators are going to do anything with us. And the other thing is that I don't think anyone is willing to talk about this, but even if we win those Georgia seats, aren't the Republicans still... even if they're in the minority in the Senate, able to block most legislation by imposing filibusters.
Yes, legislation, but they've dropped the filibuster for the all judicial nominations.
Yeah, but there's still all that legislation we want passed that can stand in the way.
Democrats were in the minority; they were able to block things in the Senate. It's a terrible thing. I mean, I'd rather just have get rid of it. A lot of people are talking about getting rid of it, and whoever wins these elections, they get to do what they want to do, and they're responsible for it. But now nobody's responsible for anything.
And Joe Manchin has already said he will not vote to get rid of the filibuster. And if he won't do it, then it's dead unless some Republican votes to get rid of it, which seems highly unlikely. Just a footnote on the Supreme Court consideration of the Philadelphia case about religious freedom for the Catholic Adoption Agency that doesn't want to work with same-sex parents. The Movement Advancement Project, which is a great research organization of our communities, says that 40% of foster care, adoption, and child welfare agencies are religiously affiliated. Sure. Now, some of them are progressive, but that is a large field of child welfare agencies that could be given a green light to discriminate if the Supreme Court rules in favor of the Philadelphia.
I mean, most of them don't want to, but there it is. But Tulsi Gabbard wants to discriminate.
Yep.
A few weeks left in her term in the U.S. House. She's gone back to Hawaii. She showed her true colors. She introduced a bill to ban trans girls from girls' sports in high schools and women, I guess, in colleges. She says, I'm not transphobic. She is transphobic. Like, I think she's probably going to go back to Hawaii and pick up with her daddy's, right-wing anti-gay campaigns. What else is she going to do?
The Senate version of the bill was introduced by Kelly Loeffler, if you need a reference point. But Tulsi, remember, is a nominal Democrat and ran for president and has a variety of opinions, some of which we would agree with. But she got in trouble during her campaign for some of the anti-gay stuff of her father's religious organization and had to apologize for stuff. But now she turns around and with just a couple of weeks left, introduces this garbage. Really? Really, Tulsi? Is that how you want to spend your last few weeks?
Speaking of garbage, you all heard about this article in the Wall Street Journal, this op-ed by Joseph Epstein attacking Dr. Jill Biden for using the title doctor because she's not a medical doctor. It was sexist. They never went after Dr. Henry Kissinger for this when he was committing war crimes. A lot of the stories did not pick up the fact that Epstein, 83, has a long history of bigotry. He wrote probably one of the most anti-gay articles in history in Harper's Magazine in 1970, leading to the takeover of their offices by the Gay Activist Alliance, saying he wished homosexuality off the face of the earth, which is a genocidal statement. He's just an awful person.
I think he's the one who said that he couldn't think of anything worse for a child of his than to be homosexual.
If his sons told him this, there was nothing worse they could tell him than they were.
Now, that was 50 years ago, but we never forget.
And it'll be on his tombstone.
Yeah. And in the legal arena still, in Michigan, a court there ruled that the sex discrimination laws in Michigan do not cover sexual orientation and gender identity because the state has no statewide law about sexual non-discrimination.
I thought they said that it doesn't cover sexual orientation, but it does cover gender identity.
Well, perhaps I am wrong, but certainly not sexual orientation.
They were two religious cases. One was a wedding venue that refused a wedding for a same-sex couple, and the other was a hair business that refused service to a trans client.
Well, then one would assume that it doesn't cover gender identity either.
No, well, I think you ruled the other way. We'll clarify that perhaps in our email. Maybe I'm
at any rate. Those companies were claiming religious beliefs. The court ruled in their favor, and our lesbian attorney general of Michigan, Dana Nessel, will be appealing those that case.
We will learn more about where all the PPE money, the paycheck protection money, is going. Joel Osteen's megachurch. This is a guy who goes around on a private jet.
Among others.
$4 million in federal money. Well, yes, a whole bunch of them. Liberty Council, American College of Pediatricians, which is a right-wing group. They're getting millions. This, I hope it can be stopped in the next administration.
And good news in the legal arena. The Supreme Court of New Jersey ruled that they canceled the state rule that said you had to publish name changes in newspapers or whatever. Trans people objected to this on the grounds that A, it was costly, but B, it put them at risk. This is an old law that tries to prevent people from changing their names to escape debts or legal obligations. But in fact, in the modern age, it becomes something that's dangerous for trans people. And the court agreed with that and canceled the rule.
Some of us just want to go to the restroom. And Danny O'Donnell, our friend in the Assembly of the State of New York, passed a bill unanimously expanding gender-neutral bathrooms in all public places. All it says is that if it's a single-use bathroom, we have this in the city already, it's got to be gender-neutral. That means anybody can go into it. So what? It's a great idea, but the governor hasn't signed it yet. So there's a lot of pressure campaign to get him to do it before the end of the year, and so it doesn't become a pocket veto.
More on the New York governor when we get to AIDS news. In New Orleans, Louisiana, gay Latinx J.C. Romero beat a virulently anti-LGBT incumbent in a runoff for a school board seat last week. That's a big victory for J.C. To overcome the incumbent. We're thrilled to have a gay Latinx man replace a bigot.
Tell us about Kimberly, is it File?
Presumably. This is San Jose, California. A man, presumably mentally disturbed, with a knife. In fact, I think a former resident of a homeless shelter there went to the shelter with the knife, went on a rampage, killed two people, wounded three others. And one of the dead is a trans woman, Kimberly Fial, 53 years old. She was a proud trans woman, a kind and loving person, according to those who knew her. She had been a resident. She was now a shelter volunteer. And this is just a tragedy all around for everybody. And now trans woman is collateral damage in a terrible assault in San Jose.
In COVID news, California, which passed a law about this, is still not tracking LGBTQ COVID cases. New York has had a law for years and isn't releasing any statistics about how it's affecting us. But we passed the 300,000 death mark, and they're accelerating in the United States with almost 17 million infections. And the new one this week was Ellen DeGeneres. She says she's feeling fine, but the show is shut down until next month after a troubled year. And by the way, COVID also took the life of Charlie Pride, the black country singer. And after he appeared at a show where nobody was wearing a mask.
Yeah. We believe not COVID related, but an unknown cause of death. Anthony Vesna So, a 28-year-old up-and-coming gay, pansexual author, Cambodian American, big, huge obit in the New York Times, which said he was on the cusp of literary fame. He just made a big deal for a book of short stories. He leaves his partner, Alex Torres. No cause of death known yet, 28, and a huge loss to the literary community. Our condolences to Alex.
All right.
But now some better news. Well, Also, I open up the New York Times a few days ago, and there on the sports page is this most gorgeous picture of the wedding of two women in beautiful white wedding gowns with, and it took me a minute to see this, an arch over them of golf clubs. They are on the right. I hope this picture is still up there. Elena Sharp, who is a Canadian golfer, age 39. She's been on the tour for quite a while. I've watched her for years. Turns out she came out about 3 years ago. And her caddy, Sharon Bowman, is her longtime girlfriend. They met playing ice hockey in 2013, both Canadian. And they got married last month in Arizona. And they're
by their therapist.
Yes. But it's this beautiful story on the fourth page of the Times. I was so moved by it that I wrote the author of the story a note. She said, "You made my day," by writing her about how much I love the story. And now I've just written a note to Elena Sharp. We'll see what she has to say. But it's such a positive, nuanced, supportive story. And I think they're great role models. And Elena is a current active LPGA player. She's playing this week in the season-ending championship in Florida. And they just have a great story, and it was terrific to see them there.
They rushed into this wedding. I mean, they'd known each other forever, but they had a rushed wedding because after Amy Coney Barrett was put on the Supreme Court. This happened to a lot of people around the country who feel rights are going to be taken away. And
I thought it was very insightful first to make that decision and then to talk about it in the interview with the Times, to talk about how they felt that marriage could disappear with the Supreme Court with Amy Coney Barrett. Although given what the Supreme Court's been doing, maybe we have nothing to fear after all.
Please stay vigilant. And by the way, Bowman, when she started working as the caddy for Sharp, Sharp said, "We said that if the working arrangement ever affects our relationship, I'll find another caddy."
Well, she should have at the first tournament because Bowman evidently was carrying the bag upside down because all the clubs fell out on the first hole.
Oh, we've all done that.
not in a pro tournament.
The winner of the U.S. Women's Open this week had to turn her bag upside down afterwards to get her cell phone out.
Yeah, well, that was just one little moment. But she was terrific, and that tournament was terrific.
Okay.
Anyway, congratulations to the happy couple.
All right. And then we have the coming out of a ski champion, Hig Roberts, 29, a two-time U.S. national champion, who is the first elite men's alpine skier to come out publicly. He said he's ready to be happy and encourages us all to be ourselves. Now, there's a lesbian alpine skier, Anja Parson of Sweden, who came out in 2012, and Gus Kenworthy.
I mean, these nuances of, well, he's the first alpine skier, not...
And we still don't have, you know, anybody in the big male sports.
I know. It just disturbs me that in 2018, he said, I'm scared to come out because I don't see anybody like me. When Gus Kenworthy had come out 3 years before at the Olympics as a member of the Olympic team. Come on.
Yeah, but he's a freestyle skier.
Well, he's still competing, and this guy has retired. I mean,
no one is
all the best to you. All the best to you, Hig. But it's not quite what I'd hope for. Anyway, MSNBC. For an update and a correction first, Tiffany Cross is the name I was searching for on the tip of my tongue last week about the other new weekend host of the former Joy Reid show. She's terrific, Tiffany. She's very smart and progressive, and we're delighted to see her as a host along with Jonathan Capehart on Sundays. But
I watched his Sunday show. He was quite verklempt. telling his story.
Of course, he's done that over and over. But we also fell for the line that Jonathan was the first out gay black man hosting an MSNBC show.
Five viewers wrote to us.
What about Joshua Johnson?
Joshua Jackson, who is out gay, black man, does Saturday and Sunday evenings. And I just have to say, although I've seen him on MSNBC, that's not when I watch the news. So I'm now going to watch his show because he's got, you know, he's got a great story.
Yes. And I've seen him too, but it hadn't, I guess I missed his coming out moment a while ago. And it just didn't occur to me, but sorry, Jonathan, you are not the first.
Okay.
All right.
And then the Leslie Lohman Gallery, LGBTQ Museum, has its first LGBTQ woman as their director, Alyssa Nitschen, 43, taken over at a hard time. The last director became our city commissioner of cultural affairs. She starts in February and wants the museum to be a sanctuary, catalyst, and provocateur.
Well, I just want it to survive. She was at Creative Time for 7 years, which is a very innovative arts organization that has done some very provocative stuff around town. And so we wish her well and wish Leslie Lohman well, because they do great work.
And I'm very sad watching Jeopardy these days because I know Alex is going to die after Christmas Day. But they're still running his episodes and the last one will be on Christmas Day. But I watched this show where contestant Cody Lawrence, who didn't win but did pretty well, sported a bi pride pin. So there he is doing that. And he tweeted about it later. And that there's a lot of bisexual pride in that. Okay.
Okay. International news?
Yes.
All right. As we said in the headlines, Bhutan's parliament, by a vote of 63-0, six absent, repealed their sodomy law.
They just said it's not unnatural anymore, because they still have a law against unnatural sex, but gay sex is not unnatural.
The king still has to approve this redefinition of unnatural sex, but we have no reason to believe he won't.
This gets us down to either 66 or 69 countries, depending on who's counting, who ban gay sex.
Well, the new ILGA report that's out, the former International Lesbian and Gay Association, I think like everyone else, they're now defining it as lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, and queer, IA plus whatever, they're out with their annual report, which you can see at ILGA.org. 69 countries still criminalize homosexuality, and they go over what's happening all over the world, some great progress, some backsliding. It's actually quite a fascinating report.
And the backsliding mostly occurring in Hungary these days, overwhelmingly passed a law barring same-sex couples from adopting children by restricting adoption to married couples. We can't get married there, although exceptions can be approved by the Ministry for Family Affairs, I think, for single people. They wrote in their constitution, the mother is a woman, the father is a man. You write this in the constitution, defines a child's sex as that assigned to them at birth and ensures upbringing of children according to Hungary's Christian culture. Now, this was a place that was pretty hard on Jews in World War II, let me tell you, and now they're writing it into the constitution.
Wait a minute. Wasn't there a revolution there in 1968?
Earlier. No, you're talking about the Prague, but Hungary's revolution was in 1956, and it was suppressed.
Okay.
By the Soviet Union.
All right, never mind. In Northern Ireland, they conducted the first religious same-sex wedding. Congratulations to them. Of course, that is not mandated as necessary in the country, but it is available as a possibility, and it happened not in a Catholic church, in more of a Protestant or non-denominational church, a progressive church, but it happened.
Iran sentenced a British-Iranian researcher, anthropologist, to 9 years in prison for visiting Israel as a reporter, but also cited this guy, Kamil Ahmadi, for promoting homosexuality in cooperation with European embassies. For this, 9 years in prison.
Well, he'll appeal that sentence, so we're not sure whether that will stand, but it's a pretty shocking sentence. In Bolivia, on the other hand, a male couple has won the right to a free union, which has all the rights of marriage. I don't know whether it will actually be defined as marriage. The Civic Registry Service was ordered 5 months ago to legalize these kinds of arrangements. They were given 10 days to comply. Now, 5 months later, they finally have.
And speaking of unions, by the way, Kamala, Joe Biden, and Pete talked about good, strong union jobs about 55 times in their announcement.
Good. I hope they follow through on that.
There were 370 international religious leaders, including Bishop Desmond Tutu, calling for a ban on conversion therapy worldwide. And that was a nice statement.
But in Estonia, the parliament conservatives have managed to advance a bill calling for a public referendum on same-sex marriage. The liberals are trying to get in the way of this, saying, it's already illegal. What are you doing? But the Estonian conservatives are trying to put that in cement so that it's harder to overturn.
Right.
All right. Shall we segue to AIDS news with the UK blood donation story?
Yeah. Yes, it's a rather nuanced.
Yeah, I find this a little iffy. They're touting this as the UK has loosened its rules on blood donations by men who have sex with men, gay and bisexual men.
Starts next summer.
Yeah. You can now donate blood if you fall into this category, if you've had the same partner for 3 months, or if you're not partnered and you're sexually active, if you haven't had anal sex, and if you have no exposure to STDs and are not on PrEP. I'm not quite sure why that is important.
I don't know.
But all of this seems to be a little too cute. They say, well, now it's changed to behavior, not who you are. But I don't know.
A lot of do know gay men who just, you know, say, look, I know better, and I know I'm not at risk for this, and I'm just going to give blood, and I'm not going to tell them.
Well, fine, but it's still a stigmatizing system.
Well, France, Italy, and Spain have also relaxed their rules, but not the United States.
Well, right. Didn't the United States go down to 3 months?
Yeah, which is where Britain was.
Yeah.
All right. And by the way, Broadway Cares, did you watch that Best of Broadway benefit on NBC? Star studded.
Raised
over $3 million for Broadway Cares Equity Fights AIDS.
Happy to hear that.
It also helps with other issues, hosted by Tina Fey. Lots of stars. You know, they spoke about what's it like in the theater these days, or not being in the theater. And of course, their long relationships with Broadway Cares. By the way, I could include in our email, Tom O'Neill, our old friend, interviewed me and a couple of other critics about the Tony Awards, which we don't even know when they're going to happen at this point. The nominees are out on the shortened season, but they're not saying when they're going to give the awards out.
Why?
Because they don't know what they just guess. Nobody knows what to do.
There have been half a dozen other awards shows that have succeeded in taking place one way or another.
Since it's a trade show, I think they want to time it when things are going to open up again so that the things can have some effect. That's what.
Well, that could certainly be a while because I don't think Broadway's not going to open up till what? At least summer, maybe fall, maybe not.
Yeah, correct.
They might as well go ahead and give out the awards.
Okay. We've got to get you on the Gold Derby Committee. All right. What did you think about the study on Us by the Fenway Institute about older LGBTQ people? This is in Massachusetts. Well, apparently we're diagnosed with depression at twice the rate of our heterosexual cisgendered peers.
And we're going to die.
Hold it. Twice as likely to fall and be injured over the past year. But wait a minute. were more likely to have college degrees, you'd think we'd take more care, but more likely to have had difficulty obtaining housing and food. Sean Cahill, the director of policy there, says the findings point to a need for maybe some more vigorous enforcement of non-discrimination laws and proactive measures to reduce our isolation. Well, this helps.
I think isolation is the key. And we're lucky enough to live in an urban area, to have been here a long time, to have circles of friends and community. And that does keep us a lot healthier and safer. And I highly recommend that. But there are a lot of people who've grown up in isolation who didn't come out or didn't feel able to connect with the community. And that leaves them in a much more vulnerable position in older age.
We will link to this study. It's at fenwayhealth.org, but we'll give you the full link in our email.
And there was a lovely little feature, I think, in the Times this week about a guy living in the senior housing for...
Bill Meehan. We know him. He's a Queens activist. Now he's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So congratulations to him. Now, also in health and AIDS news, we did celebrate World AIDS Day a couple of weeks ago. Well, it turns out that New York Governor Cuomo was bragging at the time about giving $100 million to community organizations. But as those community organizations pointed out, at the same time, he was cutting $250 million from those same organizations. So, you know, the gall of this guy to... housing works, GMHC, Callan Lord, Harlem United, they're all up in arms against the governor for his shameless, shameless bragging.
Well, they're going to be more up in arms because more cuts are coming down the road and priorities of, you know, not, we got to hear from all the people who want to hold office or in office about what are we going to do. I mean, we're not getting any money from the federal government for states and localities at all.
Yeah, well, it's a mess. It's terrible. Yeah. All right. And moving over into entertainment news, the National Black Justice Coalition has been working with the Cartoon Network, and they've come up with a lovely cartoon strip made by the Cartoon Network on gender identity and pronouns and trans identities and all of that. And it's really nicely done. And I congratulate the Cartoon Network for working with the National Black Justice Coalition. Very well done.
Okay.
Have you seen this? A couple of ads have struck me. The cartoon from Best Buy of the girl, it looks like a girl with her big piggy bank that she breaks. And it took me about 10 times of seeing it before I realized she's saying, "I want to buy a laptop for my girlfriend." And I thought, wait a minute. No child is buying a laptop for her friend. This must be a more adult woman buying a laptop for her girlfriend. So I can't swear that's what it is, but if you look closely, I think that's what it looks like. So that's a Best Buy holiday cartoon ad, which I think is a little subtle, but actually quite open to that interpretation, at least. And I have to say, I'm quite taken by these Uber Eats commercials with Simone Biles and Jonathan Van Ness, who it turns out is a real gymnast in real life.
It better be.
Well, the right wing is up in arms about it, but they're pretty darn cute.
Caught my attention. The other thing that caught my attention, have you seen the HBO documentary that's running now on the Bee Gees?
Yes.
The Broken Heart?
Yeah.
It really struck me, but one of the sections is about there became this movement. Of course, the Bee Gees were a big group, and they kind of had their second wave when they did the Saturday Night Fever album, and they all went on disco. And then apparently everything became disco, and DJs, you know, were running nothing but disco music. You had to be disco, whatever it was. Well, then they got this movement called Disco Sucks, which was very homophobic. And at a Chicago White Sox game, people were told to bring their disco albums to blow them up. And a black guy who worked as an usher there said they weren't disco albums. They were just rhythm and blues. They were all by black artists. It was one of the most racist, homophobic things I've ever seen in my life. So that was quite insightful.
And you thought all of that was invented by the Trump supporters.
Right.
Yeah. Also, I must report on the latest Lifetime gay Christmas movie, The Christmas Setup, with Fran Drescher as a mom whose son comes home and she sets him up with his former high school classmate. I would say it was a little better than some of the others. I can't claim that any of these are great art, but it was okay. The Christmas Setup on Lifetime.
Hey, should we run our video?
Yeah, let's do.
All right. Well, we came across this online. Apparently, it's been around for a little bit, by Aaron Lacombe, a songwriter. And he was a fellow songwriter, had organized a Christmas songwriting contest in Kerrville, I guess, in Texas, asked him to take part. And he said, I wasn't going to be able to color within the lines of a normal Christmas song. So drawing on experiences of my own family and what some friends of mine have been through, I came up with Uncle Carl within a day or two. And it was a small rural Texas town. And I started to think I was going to get in trouble with the contest organizer, but they were very supportive. He says, I came in last in the contest, which is not a great introduction to this, but he said, then all these people came up to me with tears in their eyes after the song played. And he says, I started singing it at every show year round, and it's taken on a life of its own, and I still get a kick out of playing it. So it's a story, basically, about a Christmas dinner. And we want to bring it to you from, and we thank, Aaron Lacombe.
Table set for half of Texas on a Christmas afternoon. There'd never been so many cousins in that tiny dining room. All us kids were down on one end, making jokes while Dad said grace. We said amen, and Uncle Carl stood up with a strange look on his face. I was just about to try the beans Aunt Cindy brought from home, when Carl spilled some beans of his own. Uncle Carl came out on Christmas in front of God and all us kids had known for decades, and Dad had no clue at all. Carl's best friend who'd come to Christmas the last 4 years in a row said, I think it's time to let you good folks know. Now raised voices were not uncommon at family dinners such as these. Global warming or Obama, Muslim refugees. But no one so much as whispered. We just sat and ate and chewed till Dad got up and took his beer to the TV room. Mom and Grandma got up next and cleared the plates without a sound. And thus remaining, we said we love y'all both. And Dad'll come around. And one by one, we filled the TV room, spilling out into the hall. Cowboys lost, of course, which didn't help at all. Uncle Carl came out on Christmas
down again. Oh, all us kids had known for decades, and Dad had no clue at all. Carl's best friend who'd come to Christmas the last 4 years in a row. He said to Carl, I think we better go. From the bedroom in the back, and Mom packed up some turkey and some tin foil in a sack. I was pretty nervous as Dad was shifting in his seat, and we all drew a quick breath when he got up and to his feet. And then that man who'd never hugged a soul, at least that I had ever seen, his arms around his brother, a Christmas miracle indeed. And those three talked another hour out in the cul-de-sac. Carl, my dad, and my new Uncle Jack. Uncle Carl came out on Christmas in front of God and all his kids had known for decades. Dad had no clue at all. Carl's best friend who'd come to Christmas the last 4 years in a row. He said, I can't believe y'all didn't know.
I think it's great. I really love it. And the fact that he wrote it in 2 days for a song contest is just shocking. It's so good. So
thank you, Aaron.
Thrilled to come across it and thrilled to be in touch with Aaron, who gave us permission to use that. So spread it around.
Less thrilled with The Prom on Netflix.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I love that Broadway show. And Ryan Murphy, who directed this, throughout the Broadway cast, which was brilliant, and put in a bunch of stars. And I just think it just didn't have any of the impact for me.
I'm sure you're right. Others have loved it, just to say so. I'm sure you won't like this, because I know how you feel about RuPaul's Drag Race, but there is going to be a trans man on the upcoming season starting January 1st, Gottmik, will be on Drag Race season 13.
And
Billy Porter will be on New Year's Eve's ABC broadcast with Ryan Seacrest. And I've been meaning to recommend the book I finally read, Edie Windsor's autobiography. It is spicy.
Yes, Edie was very spicy.
Whoa! But A Wild and Precious Life by Edie Windsor, if you're looking for something to give people for Christmas, highly recommended. And Perez Hilton got tossed off TikTok.
That's we're out of time. We hope to see you next week. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Yeah. And let's hope New York does not get 2 feet of snow. Bye.